Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Fire it up.
He knows sports.
What if we made you like an ice crew member for the Islanders?
An ice cream vendor?
And he's very humble.
Your mother.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
So I love paying attention. They got Silva.
Who is Silva? And here we are. We've walked you right up to it. Stump Rothenberg. 1-800-919-3776. We'll end with the little five-pack barrage from one RJ Santillo. Let's start out, as we always do, with the big Islanders fan. Must be in a great mood this morning. It's Andy and Merrick. Hello, Andy.
Good morning, David and Rick. 5 losses in a row. Team AARP is done.
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 So you're sticking the fork right in the Islanders.
They're the Chris Simon of the league right now.
Oh, come on. He just passed away.
Exactly.
It's a former teammate, Andy.
I mean, Andy, come on, man.
Let's go to the NFL draft.
All right. Go ahead, Andy.
When Tom Brady walks into the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
his 199th draft position will be the lowest in the last 40 years. Today's question is, as of now,
yeah,
who is the lowest picked player to enter the Hall of Fame 40-year time frame since 1984?
Since 84, but they have to be drafted, right? Because
yes.
I know Rosie Brown was, but you're talking about since 84.
Correct.
And it can't be undrafted. It's got to be a drafted player.
Got to be a drafted player.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
What was the question? I was so turned off by how you started the call.
The lowest draft pick in the last 40 years. Is that right?
To make the Hall of Fame.
To make the Hall of Fame. I think there's a lot, but I can't think of anybody in the last 40 years. Because Harold Carmichael was a...
He's way outside the 40 years. Come on,
yeah, I understand 84. That. I'm thinking Shannon Sharp, but he's outside the 40 years as well.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Then would it be Shannon Sharp?
You're close. Shannon Sharp was the 192nd pick. Mm. Terrell Davis, the other Bronco.
Oh.
196.
Nice. All right. Well, good for you. Super Bowl MVP, Terrell Davis. That's 0-1. That's a good question.
Not a great start to the call. The question was much better than how he...
I got to be honest. I mean, I thought that was worthy of like hanging up,
yeah,
hanging up on him.
I would have suspended.
That was really...
Awful.
Really bad, yes. John in the car. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, John? How are you?
Doing well. So, question. Which NFL player who was active last season has played in the most playoff games?
Active last season, most playoff games. So this is going to be... So just playoff games played, right?
Yes, for their career.
So it could be Rodgers or Kelsey would be my two.
So I'll tell you this, Rodgers is third, Kelce is second.
So there's somebody more than those guys.
Yes, someone who was active last season.
Is it a player that we're familiar with? Or is it going to be some random?
It should be someone you should be familiar with.
I should be familiar with. But he was, and he's not active anymore?
Well, he's currently not signed with the team right now, but he was active last season.
So I'm thinking like maybe Matthew Slater, but I think he retired, so it won't be him.
It's not him.
Is it Mason Crosby?
It is.
All right. That was a good job. That's one and one. That's
a good pull.
That's a hard question.
That's a good pull, too.
Let's go to Alex in Westchester. Alex, good morning. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
So you went to the Dean Smith Center with your son.
That's right.
Largest college basketball arena. Can you give us the top three?
Well, are we considering Syracuse to be?
Yes.
So that would be one. Because that's also a football arena, so I don't know. What'd you say?
Yeah, any place that the college team consistently plays basketball, it's part of their home schedule.
Okay. I think Rupp Arena is bigger.
Rupp Arena would be number two.
And then the Yum Center in Louisville.
You got it, Dave.
There you go. Thank you very much. And then the Smith Center.
Thank you.
Would be number four, according to that calculation. All right, that's nice. So now we're 2-1. Let's go to Hot Take Johnny in the car. Good morning, HTJ.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to Company Jace.
Johnny,
yes.
Will you be attending the pregame party on May 2nd?
Yes, and I will be there for the pickleball game.
So you're
and the pickleball, I'll have both my kids with me.
Nice. This is exciting.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, yes, yes. So NFL for you, Dave.
Yeah.
There is one quarterback that has thrown for 4,000 yards with three separate franchises. Name that quarterback.
Well, it's not Brady because he's a two. Favre? Did Favre go Vikings? No, I don't think he got there with the Jets because he didn't play the full season. I mean, obviously this is going to be recent because guys didn't throw for that many yards. Carson Palmer, Bengals, Raiders, Cardinals. Is there anybody else that I'm missing? I'm somewhat confident, but not 100%. I'm going to go with Carson Palmer.
Give the man the ding.
Yes! That's nice. That was delicious. Somewhat unexpected. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where? New York.
That's right, New York.
Okay. This has gotten off to a pretty nice start. I think we're 3-1. Let's go to D in Brooklyn. D, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, Dave, Rick, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Dave, can you name the only NBA team whose all-time leading scorer is under 11,000? Can you name the team and a player?
I mean, I would think Charlotte, but is it points scored only with that team?
Yes, their team's all-time leading scorer.
I mean, I would think Charlotte. Under 11?
Under 11K, yes.
Now, are we inclusive of the... Is it, like, are the Nets Brooklyn and New Jersey, or are they just Brooklyn?
I believe it's just Brooklyn.
Then I'll go with Brooklyn.
Can you name the player?
Brook Lopez, I know, is their all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, it's Brook Lopez. You got it.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's nice.
It's real nice.
We're off to a rollicking start.
I didn't
even
blame you for the first one. Because I was thrown off.
It was a good question,
yeah,
though.
But I was thrown off.
All right. Well, you can blame me or not blame me. It was a good question. I didn't get it right. I was close with Shannon Sharp. Savannah State, by the way. Mm-hmm. Brother Sterling, South Carolina.
Sterling was awesome, too.
Until he got hurt with the neck. Oof. I mean, awesome. All right. Let's go to Noah in Bergen. Noah, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. Here is my question on the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Dante DiVincenzo is on pace to perhaps break the Knicks' single-season record for most three-pointers made. He needs just 25 to tie whom?
Evan Fournier.
Fine. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was an easy one. I knew that one.
Well, I should give you the first crack at these then.
No. I'm just saying.
No, I think that'd be nice.
I knew that one.
Let's go to Mike in Ossining. Michael, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, great to talk to you again. Called in last week on the birthday, so happy birthday.
Nice, thank you.
Who has the most overall wins in the NCAA tournament? Not championships, overall wins for men's basketball.
So, it's not going to be UCLA. I don't... I don't think it's UCLA. Could be North Carolina. Could be Duke. Could be Kentucky. Those are my three. Could it be? I don't think it's UCLA. And when they used to win the title, you were not winning six games like you are now. Final four appearances I know is Carolina. I'll go with Carolina.
And that's why you're a legend, Dave. 141 wins.
Wow.
Stump Rothenberg, you're the best.
There you go. There you go. And we continue along. That's nice. That's
well done.
So I would have thought Kentucky or Carolina, but we got it. We got a hockey question on the line. I'm going to need your help here because
right.
You're better with the hockey than I am. Chris in Baldwin. Chris, have at it. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Okay, last NHL team to win the President's Cup and then the Stanley Cup.
You should know this because it's been a
well,
long time.
It's not
time.
The President's Cup.
President's Trophy.
It turns me off.
Okay.
The President's Cup.
Sorry. Yep.
I think we've done this question before.
It was the Blackhawks, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the 2012-13 Blackhawks.
Yep. Is that right, Chris?
Got it.
There you go.
Yep, you got it.
All right, there we go. You think we go Shooter?
Ooh.
I mean, he's such a wild card.
That's a tough call. Let's give him a chance.
Okay, let's go with Shooter in Stamford. Hi, Shooter. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, boys. Good morning, coming east. How are you guys?
Good morning.
All right, here's your question, David boy.
Yep.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
The actor is John Leguizamo.
So I'm playing...
Link
him
back.
I'm playing...
You're linking John
Six
Leguizamo.
Degrees of Kevin Bacon to John Leguizamo.
That's correct. It can be done in three moves. If you do it in two moves,
You just prove you're more of a.
I don't know that I'm gonna be able to do it. I don't know that I'm gonna be able to do it at all.
I think you could do it. I believe in you. Think about big John Leguizamo movies. Big time movies with him.
No, no, I know, but I can't think of anything that he's been in that then gets me over to Kevin Bacon.
Think about where I teach.
Yeah, I don't know how that helps me. So, I mean, I guess let me start. I mean, Bacon's in A Few Good Men. That's the one that you can always use with him. I don't think I'm able to get it. I mean, Nicholson. Was Nicholson anything with Leguizamo?
You don't want to start the other way, Dave, where you go with...
I just want to...
There's a big-time actor with John Leguizamo. If you get that big actor, I think you'll be able to get it.
Yeah, probably so.
Come on, Rick. You don't know the movie, Rick? My hint was...
All right, how about Tommy Lee Jones to Kevin Bacon? Would that do anything for me?
Tommy Lee Jones to Kevin Bacon?
But I don't know that I'm going to be able to get there. I don't know. I don't know.
What movie are you talking about? Are you talking about Carlito's Way?
Yeah, baby. Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
All right, so you're going to give me Carlito's Way. We'll go with De Niro. Was in that or just Pacino?
That's Pacino.
All right, so Pacino is with De Niro in Godfather, and then Bacon and De Niro are in Sleepers.
Excellent. There you go.
There we go. So it was kind of a dual effort. Kind of a dual effort.
You zap the life right out of him.
Hoorah. Hoorah. All right, let's take one more, and then we'll get to your quest, and we'll go to RJ's little five-pack. Michael Toms River. Michael, have at it.
Hey Dave. Got a good question. It's a Giants question.
Okay.
All right. There, in the Giants' history, there have been four quarterbacks who have thrown for a perfect passer rating in a regular season game. Can you name them?
I would guess Eli. Regular season game. And that's what, 158.3, right?
Correct. Now remember, this is their full history.
Yeah, so we could go back forever ago then.
Pretty much.
Tarkenton.
That's one.
Tittle.
That's two.
Are we getting more recent yet or no?
Yes.
Kerry Collins.
That's three.
Eli?
You got it. There we go. Good job.
Okay. I'll take it. That's nice.
That was nice.
That's nice.
You're doing pretty good today.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Some decent questions, too. All right, you're up.
All right. So, in honor of whatever you want to call today's...
Well, I mean, I think you have to call it like it is.
Today's not opening
the start of, it's the start of Major League Baseball.
It's the start of Major League Baseball season.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, Padres up 2-1, bottom seven.
Okay, great. Mookie Betts,
mm-hmm.
Shohei, Freddie Freeman. What do they all have in common?
They're all in the Dodgers.
Yes, that's right. But they all are former...
MVPs.
Correct. So, when was the last time that you had former MVPs in the same lineup, batting 1-2-3.
Batting 1-2-3.
This is a good.
This is a tough question.
Famous.
This goes back to like
very famous team.
So this is gonna be Yankees
with three studs at the top of the lineup.
But they have to be batting 1, 2, 3. So I guess let me just think of teams that have had 3 MVPs, and then maybe we can take it from there. God, I can't think of anybody.
So the last team to have
Pujols, Trout?
No, the last team to have 3 sequentially, but it wasn't 1, 2, 3, was the 96 Red Sox. But this is the last team to have 1, 2, 3 at the top of the order. All 3 former MVPs.
The one is the one that's giving me trouble. I don't think
very famous nickname for this team.
Is this in your lifetime?
Yes, the very beginning of my life.
So we're talking about... It's not the Cardinals, is it?
No, it's not. I made a mistake. It's not, no.
What mistake did you make?
The nickname thing.
Oh.
Forget that.
I don't know. I have no
team
idea.
Team you hate.
Phillies.
Yep.
Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Schmidt.
Yep. One more.
Am I looking for the leadoff guy or the two hitter?
Leadoff.
Obviously, great player. So we're talking like early 80s Phillies. I mean, who?
Former voice of baseball. One of the voices.
Not Tim McCarver.
No. Joe Morgan. Joe Morgan.
Yeah. Right.
But, so Morgan Rose and Mike Schmidt.
So you didn't. So he didn't win an MVP on the Phillies.
No.
He won it on the Reds, but then he was
just
on.
Just three yeah. MVPs.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice question. That's a tough one.
It was a tough question.
That was a really tough one. So you got me. Good for you. RJ, have you enjoyed this edition of Stump Rothenberg?
I have. I feel like it's been very laborious for you. You've had to work hard.
It has not been easy.
But you know what? These are the ones you feel best about. Sometimes you're not perfect. But you get to the end, you look up, you threw 6 2/3, you gave up 2 runs, and you had to work for it.
Here's what I think I've gathered from you. I've known you for years now, right? A decade, I think, we've reached, right?
Yeah.
Knowing you the way I do, mm-hmm. I believe you're going to go all college basketball solely because we're now ensconced in March Madness.
You know what? You're spot on.
Yeah. So whether I get them right or not now, it doesn't even matter.
Yep. That should count for something.
It counts for a lot.
Not technically, but it should. Away we go.
Away we go.
Frank Kaminsky.
You go. Went to the national championship game, beat an undefeated Kentucky team.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. You see me gargling as you asked me the question.
Who gargles?
I was gargling.
No, honestly.
I was gargling.
Honestly, RJ, who gargles at work? Who gargles?
I was gargling water.
I thought you were taking a sip of water.
No,
I didn't realize gargling was commencing.
No, I was gargling.
RJ, have you ever seen anyone gargle at work? Ever?
I've not, but his liquid situation at work is interesting because he does the tongue tornado with the coffee as well.
I have no choice.
Tongue tornado. But here's the thing. Once you've now gargled and spit back in the original cup,
It's not the original cup.
But
this is an extra trash cup.
You can no longer gargle. You can't take liquids from that gargling cup.
There was never intended to be liquids in this cup.
Right.
This is the spit cup.
All right. Well, then I'll answer for you.
Wisconsin.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So instead of playing the whole gargling game, just answer the question.
Wisconsin it is. Next, Trey Burke.
Same conference.
Yep.
He's gargling again.
Oh, no.
It's amazing to me that he could be caught mid-gargle.
This is not my segment.
That he could be caught.
When I do the open... You keep your mouth shut.
Trey Burke.
He's going to gargle tomorrow there in the open. You know this now.
I'm going to gargle my face off. You know what? I'll gargle now.
Please don't.
Do you guys have dental concerns?
I didn't make any noise like that.
That is gross.
That's disgusting.
That is just gross.
No, that's what he's doing sitting here next to me.
And then he swallowed.
Oh.
I mean, that's what I do. I swallow.
All right. Well, can you answer the question, please? So we can move along. I'll also need that for tomorrow. Thanks.
Red flag. Red flag. Oh, she wants a snack.
Red flag. Red flag. What were we talking about?
Trey Burke.
Trey Burke went to the NCAA Finals.
Uh-huh.
Louisville, against Louisville, with Tim Hardaway on his team, mm-hmm. because he went to Michigan.
I believe there was one more son on that team, wasn't there? A former NBA player?
Mm.
Ooh, come on.
I don't know.
He might have been known as a big dog.
Oh, Glenn Robinson's kid, right. Nice. Very nice.
Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette from Glens Falls, New York.
Uh-huh.
But he went way out west to Brigham Young.
That's right. Billy Young. Scary Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier, I believe, is Louisville.
That is correct.
Yes,
you
thank you.
You still consider them national champions?
Yeah, oh, I do, yes.
Got that one taken
yes,
away.
Yes, absolutely.
And finally...
That's because they have the stripper stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the Patino stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, before NIL, that's how you'll tell your kids. That's how they got recruits back in the day. No, NIL, you know, deals with Nike and minivans.
No, they had the POLO.
That was clever.
Really great.
That was nice. And finally, Kyle Singler.
Come on. I mean, come on.
Well, I think it's easy for you.
I mean, I covered Duke.
But he was a young journalist. He was at Duke.
Number 12, Kyle Singler.
That is correct.
So how do you feel about this five-pack so far?
It's...
Underwhelmed?
The last one was, yeah, was a real...
It's supposed to be the hardest one, usually.
I am too smart.
No, RJ, I'd like another one.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T.
Fine. Ricky Davis.
No idea.
I went really hard.
I have no idea.
It's going to come to him, though. He says that he'll remember
the
number.
No, I think he actually doesn't know.
No idea. Well, I mean, Ricky Davis is not all that recent.
I switched generations on you.
Yeah.
We just went to a whole nother gear.
No idea.
I think you know.
I'm telling you, I don't.
That's a fun list you have. You're switching generations on that list.
That's right. He can go from the 20s to the 50s to the 80s.
So you were underwhelmed. So we went deep into the most difficult section of the list.
So is that the one you've been waiting to pull out?
No,
the Ricky Davis one?
No, I just have it. But I was accused of taking it easy on you. So, you know what?
You have to admit, though, that five was, I mean, that was for Dave, was not challenging.
Also, but it's also for the people.
Did Ricky Davis play for Dr. Tom Davis?
I can't tell you who he played for. I don't actually know. Major school.
Did he play with Roy Marble?
Maybe. Major conference school. This is getting challenging.
Come on.
I'm the only thing I could think of is Iowa,
Ten.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that
Iowa, Big Ten.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Took a minute, but we got there. All right.
That feels like the theme of today. It took him a second.
It was a struggle. Give me one more, RJ. Give me one more.
Brandon Rush.
Kansas.
Yes.
There we go.
You're back.
That felt good.
That felt right. That felt better. Nice. On the heels of Stump Rothenberg, time now for a little tournament update driven by Nissan. That's who's driving this tournament update. Staten Island's own Wagner holds on against Howard, 71-68. Number 16, Wagner advances to play North Carolina tomorrow in Charlotte. Then in the late game, Colorado State just rolled over an offensively inept Virginia team. Number 10, Colorado State will now take on Texas tomorrow. Tonight, it's two more 16s battling in Grambling and Montana State, followed by Boise State and Colorado in a matchup of 10 seeds. And that's your tournament update, driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com. Will anybody here on the show, I know RJ, I believe you are, going to participate in my college basketball pool?
I'm considering it.
You're considering
it? Yeah, I'm considering it.
All right. Do you think this would be a nice time to kind of get Milo dabbling in some college basketball?
No, I don't think this is the time to do that.
Why?
Well, because he doesn't really pay attention to college basketball.
Yeah, but maybe he would pay attention more. Maybe he would pay attention more if you gave him one of his own sheets to fill out.
I don't think so.
No?
Maybe a little young.
Because a child entered yesterday. The dad sent in the entry, an 8-year-old.
How old? 8, really?
8 years old, yeah.
But is this kid like really into college basketball?
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, right. Maybe we'll wait a year.
A year?
Yeah, maybe.
RJ Antonio going to play this year, or you think premature for him?
You know what? I wasn't thinking about it, but now that you've planted the seed, maybe.
But also, you'll be playing.
Oh, I'm in.
Raymond, will you be participating?
I don't think I got your email this year.
So if you didn't get the email this year, it means you were not in last year.
I thought I was in last year.
I think Raymond did put it in a bracket last year.
I recall your insulting email.
Well, I'll forward it on over to you. I feel badly that you didn't receive it.
Check your
you're going to your junk, right?
Your spam.
You think there's a chance Ray just has all your emails just fast forward to the trash?
Ray checks his spam one day and it's just like Dave Rothenberg, Dave Rothenberg, Dave Rothenberg, Dave Roth, like a laundry list of old
straight
emails.
Straight to the trash.
You know, it's like, what was it, Naked Gun? He's like, oh my God, the missing evidence in the Kilner case. I knew he was innocent.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Raymond was in the.
I will remedy that at the next commercial break. Andrew Hawkins. He's good. I like the work that Andrew Hawkins does. Discussing Mike Williams and saying how important of a need this is, in fact, for the Jets.
He brings exactly what they need. They needed another wide receiver to take pressure off their run game and the dynamo that is Breece Hall, as well as Garrett Wilson on the outside. The thing that Mike Williams does great is contested catches and deep balls. Now he's paired with Aaron Rodgers, who, say what you want about him, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen in NFL history, who specializes in deep balls and back shoulder throws that create the contested catches that Mike Williams brings to the table. Where he is in his career, this is a perfect fit for both the Jets organization and Mike Williams. So kudos to all involved. It could change the fabric of this offense in next year's season.
I mean, come on. You hear that. I mean, you got to be completely titillated, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, I pretty much expressed that to you in the start of the show. Yeah.
If he's healthy, this is a dynamic signing by the Jets. Dynamic.
It's a perfect complement to what you have in Garrett Wilson.
So explain to me, because you understand the salary cap, how this works certainly better than I do. You signed Tyron Smith to $6.5 million deal?
Guaranteed deal.
But he can make up to $20 million. But if he makes, say, $16 million, you don't have to have that money available under the salary cap to pay him? Or do you equally not understand this?
Well, I think I do understand it. I don't know how that works as to when that money has to be available or not.
Because we're talking about, because I guess Williams, we don't know what he's going to be making base salary guaranteed, but he can make up to $15 million. So there's going to obviously be a large gap in there, right? So if the contract is for, say, 7.5, but he can make up to 15, that's another 7.5 he can make. Tyron Smith can make up to another, like, $13 million. Do you have to have that? There's no way the Jets are keeping $15, $20 million available of salary cap just to be able to have those guys have elite years. So how does that work then?
I would have to double check. I don't know. I can't tell you.
I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. Right, I just know
well,
that you
did. You didn't try to, but you did.
But no, but here's the thing, and this is out of respect for you. You, and I've said this a million times, you fully understand the salary cap way better than I do. So I thought you might have that answer, because to me, it doesn't make sense unless you can now spread it out over the coming years, right, into some kind of a bonus structure that it doesn't hit the cap this year. But these are really, really bright moves from Joe Douglas. Right? Because obviously it's not going to go against your cap this year. So now what you're doing is you're kicking that salary, that money down the road. That's a win for the entire organization. Because if Tyron Smith, here's the thing. If Tyron Smith comes in here and flames out, you're spending $6.5 million and the whole thing's going to be done anyway. The whole thing's going to blow up in your face anyway. Right? You agree with that? If he's not good, you have no chance. If you can't protect the blind side of Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have no chance to compete in this league. So it's worth saying, if you're great, and it incentivizes them to play, which I love, you know? And I'm not saying that Tyron Smith's not going to go out there and play, but maybe one game is like, you know what? I don't know, man. I got $18 million guaranteed. But in this case, I don't get paid unless I play in this game.
Correct. I think how it works is whatever bonuses are achieved this season will count against next year's cap.
Okay.
Which is kind of how they do it anyway with the, you know, they'll take your base salary. Like when you hear restructure, they'll take your base salary. Turn whatever, you know, whatever that number is, the signing bonus.
Right.
And then that'll be, depending on if they want to add void years or whatever else, spread onto the cap as you move forward.
So, I mean, tell me that's not a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
If you meet these criterias, if Tyron Smith plays and Mike Williams plays, I'm under the assumption the Jets are going to have a hell of a season.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you want them. You're hoping that they reach
the
bonuses.
You're hoping that you will have to deal with their salaries heading into next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't, everyone's going to probably be out of work anyway.
Right, you had to get creative this year with the amount of money that you had available, and he's still going to have to get creative, too. I mean, he's still got to pay draft picks and everything else. So, I mean, he's still going to have to do some things and some restructuring to create more money. But, yeah, like to get two players at this of this caliber when healthy to agree to these deals, especially Tyron Smith, because I don't think he expected that Tyron Smith was going to take a deal like this and not let Mike Williams walk out of the building.
Right.
So he was happy enough not to go see the Panthers or the Steelers.
Hey, Ray. Do you believe, because, I mean, Ray's the perfect person to ask, does Tyron Smith have enough left to be able to give you 15 games at left tackle this year?
I think he can get 14, 15 games out of him. Because a lot of the injuries that happen to him are, like, circumstantial. Like, you know, somebody steps on his rolls his ankle, or, like, he used to have neck stingers. That's not really a thing with him anymore. So I think Tyron Smith.
But you say there's circumstantial, right? But there's always something.
There's always something, but I just think he's been more unlucky than anything else. And I think when the Cowboys figured out, you know, let's just, because a lot of those injuries were happening in practice. And when the Cowboys just figured, like, okay, this guy's so good, he doesn't need the practice. Like, the thing about Tyron Smith, Dave, is he's so athletic, he's so large, and his hands are so large. He gets his hands on the defensive end, the rep is over. He's not beating him. I don't care who it is. So he just needs to be out on the field on Sunday. The Cowboys figured that out probably too late. I think the Jets should follow that model, and if they do,
you have to follow that model. Can you imagine if he's out practicing? It would be ridiculous.
It would be craziness, yeah. I mean, maybe they found something here, which, I mean, it sounds like they did in Dallas. And again, this is a guy that doesn't need to practice.
Imagine if it all works.
No, I cannot imagine. So, by the way, just as an addendum to what I told you about the incentives. So I guess how this would work as far as this year's cap is concerned is they categorize bonuses or incentives as likely to be earned or not likely to be earned. And how they do that is they look at last year's performance, like so the prior season. And if they think, like, by your prior season, you would meet certain thresholds of the incentives.
Right.
So the ones that are likely to be earned will go against the cap this year. The ones that are not likely to be earned will go against the following year.
Okay.
It amazes me Dallas couldn't do this.
And there's,
deal.
Like, an independent person that determines whether it's a likely to be earned or not likely to be earned, I would imagine.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's
someone from the league office
contract
says,
goes through
right,
the league, yeah.
Like, that's likely to be earned, so it's got to count this year.
Right.
This were uncertain. It would potentially count next year. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Woj has something, I mean, it's not newsworthy, but I think he's right, and when I think you hear it, you're going
to, I think
this
is another thing I said yesterday also, that you weren't listening to me.
Yesterday's I heard.
I said this yesterday.
Okay. I think we discussed it yesterday.
We did.
But now Woj is saying it too.
But I said it because Woj, I was repeating what Woj said.
Well,
I said,
now we have the actual Woj audio. You know what? I'm not going to tease anything anymore because everything I tease,
no,
like, I said that yesterday.
No, but your tease earlier in the show was a fantastic tease.
And you're like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mitchell Robinson is coming back.
No, that wasn't the tease I'm talking about.
Which tease?
That was the setup to the clip.
Right.
You gave me like an other tease and I'll tell you when we get back. I didn't make any noise like that. No, you had one.
I mean,
tease.
That's what I do. I swallow.
Yeah, well, one tease today that was terrific.
Was it? But one.
Well, that's pretty good.
I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Easy, yeah. I think you'll get at least one more.
I hope so. Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a real New York Giants fan. Now, just remember, this is Giants fan. Said a lot of these injuries happen in practice. Hey, not going to say anything. Wow, I understand this is a jet station. Keep it nice. Couple things. Not a jet station. We are no longer the station of the Jets. And I mean, if you're not excited, at least sitting here in March about this, like if you're of the mindset that it's just going to blow up and it's not going to work, it's going to be a disaster, then why even be a fan of a team? Really, like, this is the time you're supposed to have that optimism, that Brooklyn Dodgers,
of course,
this is our year, wait till next year. This is next year. You've been waiting for this forever. On paper, and I don't know how it's going to play out, on paper, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism when it comes to the Jets this coming season.
Yeah, I think there should be. I mean, you got a really good defense, and, you know, I mean, it's, listen, losing Bryce Huff, that's tough, but they didn't, I mean, they clearly didn't think they, you know, they wanted to pay him what he was asking for with how they were going to use him. Right, so
can't believe he went to Philadelphia.
I know, not great for us because we can't stand Philadelphia. But as far as the other things that needed to be fixed before we get to the draft, or I mean, hell, like just in general, offensive line, they've for the most part on paper again because we haven't, like, who knows if these guys are going to stay healthy, right, or if it's going to work. But
unless you tell me that Tyron Smith's not healthy, then it's not a good signing, right? But I'm assuming he's going to stay healthy,
right? But compared to what you had last year, and we've already lived through that. See, that's the thing I don't understand. You already lived through all the pain. That's over. Like, you got to flush that. It's a new start. It's a new season. We're going to get a quarterback back. Like, you're right. Why be a fan if you're not going to get excited about this? It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, be excited, and if you get your heart broken, you get your heart broken. But if you can't get excited for this where you are now, I mean, you've added all the pieces. All right, let me ask you this. What on the Jets do you look at now and say, man, we need to upgrade there?
Need to upgrade?
Yeah. I guess tight end.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think Conklin had a good season for us.
But
you see more Ruckert?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, would you take Brock Bowers at 10? Yeah, you take Brock Bowers at 10, but I don't think you're going to go out and, you're not going to go out
free.
You
like your defensive
agency.
Front?
Yeah, I like
you like your linebackers?
I like my linebackers.
You like your secondary?
I like my corners.
You like safety, you like your quarterback? And again, of course, all health is involved. You like your quarterback?
I do.
Do you like your running back room?
Yeah, I like my running back.
You like your offensive line now?
We'll see, but yes, better okay. than I like my offensive line last year.
Even close to what you liked last year?
Not even close.
You like your wide receivers?
I do.
Okay. So, I mean, when you look at it, and again, I know it's not on paper, but we're sitting here, they've made the signings, the guys are healthy at the moment, and we're heading into the offseason, into the draft, right? How could you not be excited by this? I don't understand it.
Because I think people that aren't excited about it think to themselves, we're the Jets, we can't have nice things, just also witness the excitement that they, or live through all of that excitement to be ripped away four plays in, and it just doesn't, It doesn't feel like we ever get the payoff, or we haven't. I mean, the last 13 seasons, we haven't made the playoffs. So you got yourself all worked up. Everyone was fired up. You know, we have a real chance to, at the very least, be a playoff team. And four plays in, it all falls apart. And on top of that, it turns into, hey, we're going to roll Zach Wilson out there. And no, we're not going to address it at the deadline. This season was
well. Now
this.
You got Tyrod Taylor.
No, I know, but it's just, and then you get the accumulation on top of that. It's like the Black Friday game, right? We can't just lose. You have to have the fail Mary. Like it's always, and now, like even leading up to these last couple signings, it's the Rossini article that comes out, and you actually see how bad it was.
It was a disaster. And but then, I think it. I believe, and maybe I'm wrong. I believe it all stems back to the fact that it was built on Aaron Rodgers. The foundation below him was a disaster. He goes out, the whole thing crumbles.
I know, but it also highlights the dysfunction of the franchise and why you needed to go out and get Aaron Rodgers.
But you have Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I know, but you're right. Yes, but people still, we haven't seen what it looks like with Aaron Rodgers. You saw four plays,
yep.
And your lasting memory of what you saw before we got Aaron Rodgers was, are we getting the MVP version, or are we getting the version we just saw that lost to Detroit at home with a chance to make the playoffs? It's the last time you saw him. This is, yeah, he was not coming off
right.
an MVP.
You're right. Is Aaron Rodgers not going to be the same guy? I think that's a legitimate concern.
And now he's coming off an Achilles.
Right. So when was the last time you saw great Aaron Rodgers? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an extended period of time.
Right.
So if you want to take the negative side of things, we haven't seen a great Aaron Rodgers in 3 years, and he's going to be 40 years old when he takes his next step.
I think the reflex for Jets fans is to take the negative. Because it's just that it hasn't worked out for us. It's how you feel as a Mets fan. It's how you felt when the whole thing fell apart with Verlander and Scherzer.
Meaning what?
Like, it's how you felt as a Mets fan. Like, whoa, coming off 100-win season, how that thing ended was the disaster.
Disaster.
And then, oh, we go out and get Justin Verlander. It's like, okay. Now we're serious. Now we have a real chance.
But at least with the Jets, you think that the reason it didn't work is because of injuries. The Mets was just a disaster.
Well, there's still injuries, though, too.
Yes, but I mean, you saw Verlander and you saw Scherzer, and they just, you know, Verlander got better, but Scherzer was never good. Never good with the Mets.
No, I get it, but it's just, you haven't experienced this really with the Giants because you have a couple championships. We don't have championships. We have one championship.
We haven't made the playoffs in 13 seasons. We're not the, and neither of you guys, you know, recently been, but we're not the epitome of a well-run organization.
So the only reason you have this mindset is because it's always failed?
I don't have this mindset, but I think that's the reason why a lot of people do, okay. Or some people.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Mina Kimes, you think Mina does a nice job? We'll hear from Woj in the next segment. You think Mina does a nice job?
I think she does a really good
job. I think she's phenomenal. Well, she says, if healthy, this team real dangerous.
I think that's kind of how I feel about a lot of the moves the Jets made and sort of the Jets in general. If they're all healthy, offensive line, Tyron Smith at left tackle, fantastic. Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles, if he's healthy, fantastic. Mike Williams, if he's healthy, fantastic. The offense, if they're healthy, should be really good. And we'll see what Rodgers looks like coming back. They're very all in, which I think is the right approach given the quarterback and his age, but obviously there's a lot of unknowns because of the health factor.
Well, you have to be all in. Yeah, you have to be all in because it's the last chance for the GM and for the head coach and for the OC and for Aaron Rodgers. So you have to be all in, and you heard her say it. Offensively, you've got everything you need, and the only question mark is health.
I heard a lot of ifs, though. But there's still a lot of ifs.
Okay.
Yeah, but you act like you haven't been around people that just like that have this kind of personality or been beaten down so many times. Like they don't feel like they deserve nice things.
Now the one thing that I heard, and I don't know that RJ has it here on the screen, but I heard it yesterday when I heard Rich Cimini on with Kay and Don and Peter, was they like just asked him point blank, this is a playoff team. He's like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. This they have to be a playoff.
Well, you heard
team.
I mean, we talked to Winthrop what last week, and I know this is before the Mike Williams thing. I might have been. It might have been after the Tyron.
No, it was before Tyron Smith because he happened after the show on Friday.
Okay, but he was like, "This we're not going to make the playoffs."
Well, but that's before Tyron Smith and Mike Williams.
I understand that, but we weren't even through free agency yet, and he was already in his mind. No, we're not going to make the playoffs. This thing's going to be a disaster,
and maybe it will be.
Yeah, you don't know, but I'm just saying. I think it's the natural reflex of a fan or a person in general that's so used to disappointment that doesn't necessarily trust himself or his team or her team or that
they just can't let go.
Well, but they're not going to believe it's going to work because it hasn't worked.
All right, so then you can sit there and you can believe it's not going to work until it works. And if it works, you'll be thrilled. If it doesn't, you'll say, well, see, I knew this was going to happen.
It's the same thing with the Knicks. Like the Knicks have not been well run. Good things have not happened to the Knicks.
Right.
And it took you a second to trust Leon Rose.
Fair.
Like his first foray, not good. And you're like, oh, here we go again.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, now you're like, okay, this thing is well run. Now we trust
And now you feel good about it. Now John Perrone tweets in, stop kissing the Jets' butt. I mean, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I think they've done well. I'm not a
Giants
Jets fan.
Be a Giants homer.
So I think this is awful. They stink. I can't give you my opinion.
It's not going to work. He's going to be hurt.
Fine. It's going to blow up in their face. I like what the Jets have done.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800. No, it's not to be thanked. It's just my honest opinion. If I didn't like it, I'd say I don't like it.
I get it. Don't argue.
You know me really well, and you know that I'm not full of crap.
You cannot lie.
Would I say something I do not believe?
Yeah, well, I think yesterday was a perfect example in the meeting. Very important meeting. You had enough, and you just said, "I'm out. I'm leaving."
RJ, you should have heard this. I think RJ, if anybody, would have really appreciated it. Tell him what happened.
Yeah, the entirety of what happened.
So we're sitting there in the meeting, RJ, and...
Well, first of all, it was supposed to be like a meet and greet. So no one knew going into this meeting that someone was going to walk in with a baseball bat and we're going to have to do all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And then Dave was not properly groomed, so he was not interested in doing it. Like, well, we'll do it today after I look decent for...
And I look better today.
Right, you look fantastic.
Yeah.
Today. And then it turned into pretty much 45 minutes of just, small talk?
Small talk. And then we got to the point where Jake was holding court, RJ, on a 9-team parlay that he had tried to, well, he placed and was trying to hit the night before, and he was in the middle of, if Steph Curry had hit more 3-pointers, and I said, I'm done.
I'm done.
I said, I'm done, I'm getting up, and I'm leaving. That was it.
And he got up and left.
And I got up and I left.
That was it.
Are you optimistic that today's meeting will be better?
Yes.
We don't often go back-to-back. This is the second day of a back-to-back stint for meetings, which we
rarely
do. It's
a grueling meeting schedule.
But you know what? We're like the Rangers. Back-to-back, flawless.
Better effort than the second one? I think so.
Are you sure about that?
What do you mean?
I think today will be good.
You don't feel... You guys don't need load management?
Give me some credit, though.
What?
There was at a point, probably like 30 minutes
when
in,
you were nodding off?
Yeah, where I almost
And he caught asleep. Himself. not only did he catch himself, RJ, he then made the announcement of, ooh, that was close. I almost nodded off there. He's like, I'm back. But to be honest with you, you probably could have let it go. You probably could have gone into full REM and you would have missed very little.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Gabe in Rockland. Hi, Gabe. You're on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So just two quick points. I do want to say I'm very excited with what Joe Douglas has done. He's done some good signings, got some good value out of these guys. Two reasons why I'm not super excited. First off, I was at the game last year, open game, and when they amped it up so much and then Rodgers, you know, the four plays in, it rips your heart out. And that's been the Jets my whole life. So it's kind of hard to believe in an organization that's been dysfunctional. And, you know, Rick brought up the Mets, kind of comparing the two, but at least the Mets have made a World Series. The Mets have won 100 games two seasons.
Now, hang on a second, though, Gabe. I mean, the Jets have gone to the AFC Championship game numerous times. It's not like they have had no success.
Yeah, but that's 13 years ago. I mean, they've been dysfunctional. They haven't been able to bring in a quarterback and develop anyone for how long? Since you want to say Vinny Testaverde? I mean, they haven't been able to do just draft well. They've had a lot of busts, especially in the first round. I'm excited. I'm always going to be excited for my team when the season starts, but it's just hard to get up and say, you know, this team is so great on paper, so I'm going to just, you know, get too amped up, and then your heart just gets
right because
out.
You haven't seen a workout. I understand.
Yeah, but just the second point, I like Salah. I don't think when it comes down to the fourth quarter and the clock management, I don't think he has it. I don't think he has that kind of, you know, the X factor of, like, you know, what Belichick and Reed and, you know, I'm not saying that you have.
Yeah,
to
I wouldn't even mention him in that conversation.
I agree. He's not Belichick. He's not Reed. His attention to detail is not
no
what those guys.
Now,
what?
There's no excuse now.
There's no excuse.
So him texting Joe Beningo about what other coaches do without their quarterbacks. He's not going to have
right,
an excuse.
Right,
but
I think that they're. I think that realistically, there's a chance he's just not a good coach.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But at least he's had the excuse that I haven't had a quarterback.
Right. Or he's had the built-in excuse of we have been bad because we don't have the guy that can throw the football. Well, now you have pretty much everything you need.
Which now we know he was using the excuse because he actually texted it to.
Which is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable that he went public
both
with it,
sides.
Too.
Unbelievable both sides.
That he took it public?
Well, a couple
well,
things.
It's amazing that the head coach of the Jets is texting a radio host to you know, well, meant it, everything that's going wrong.
They went golfing, so maybe it created some kind of relationship.
I have no issue with them being friends.
Like, I can understand, but I don't think in his wildest dreams did Robert Saleh think whatever he was texting Joe Beningo would end up on the radio.
Bad look.
That's like friend code. You don't. That's not for public consumption.
Bad look.
Stays in the locker. What's in the locker room? Stays in the locker room.
Yeah, bad look. Here is Woj, NBA Countdown, and I haven't heard this anywhere. This is new for me. It says, Brunson might be the best free agent signing of the last decade.
You're a bad guy.
How so?
You know exactly how.
What?
I haven't heard anything.
What?
I shouldn't have to say it. No, you have not heard this sound.
I have not heard this.
You've heard me repeat what was said. You just haven't heard him actually say
let's,
it.
Let's hear Woj tell us the audio of Brunson might be the best free agent signing of the last decade.
Jalen Brunson, what he has done for this Knick organization, outside of LeBron James moving in free agency, outside of Kevin Durant moving in free agency, he has been the most impactful free agent, certainly maybe of the last decade in the NBA.
Talk to him.
What he has done for this Knicks organization, yes, getting into playoffs last year, advancing, but he has pulled this entire organization that had been rudderless for years together, and everything falls into place around him. He is as good of a leader. He is as good of a locker room character guy as there is in the NBA, and he has taken his game to places that I don't even think the Knicks expected that he would. And they had his Rick Brunson on the coaching staff, his dad, Leon Rose, their president, used to be his agent. They knew this player obviously very well, but what he has done is remarkable. The question's going to be for this Knicks team, can they get healthy?
Can they get healthy? That's a big question. Now, that's the remainder of this year. You would imagine next year, and I know nobody wants to kick the can down the road to next year, but the future is very bright for this organization.
Very bright. And they become a very attractive place to play.
So I, because this is what I do, I found an article from June of last year, ESPN.com.
Okay.
NBA free agency. Every team's most impactful signing since 2010.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to walk you through it. You ready?
Walk me right through it.
Okay. You stop me when anything moves the needle for you. Ready?
Yep.
Hawks, Paul Millsap, 2 years, $19 million.
Did not move my needle.
Celtics, Al Horford, $113 million. No. This will move the needle, but you can't take this guy over because it didn't work out. Kevin Durant, Nets, 4 years, 164.
No.
It didn't work out.
I mean, Jalen Brunson has won just as many playoff series as that Nets team did.
Gordon Hayward, 4 for 120 with the Hornets. No. DeMar DeRozan, 385. All right, here's one. LeBron James, 2014.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, of course that's the one.
Well, he said this could be the most impactful. Well, it's LeBron.
I've already gone through this. I don't think I disagree with him.
You can't say it's more than LeBron.
No, I don't think it's more than LeBron. LeBron won a championship.
Right, so he's saying it's the most impactful.
Since
LeBron?
Since LeBron and Durant, yeah.
Since LeBron, I think that's fair. Monta Ellis. Paul Millsap's on the list twice. Yeah, you've seen this list?
I may have perused the list.
Millsap for the Nuggets. Josh Smith for the Pistons. These don't work out. big free agents. I mean, so here's Durant in 2016, that worked out. Dwight Howard with the Rockets did not work out. David West with the Pacers did not work out. Here's an interesting one. Now, it hasn't, you wouldn't say it's worked out, but it's still, the jury is still
okay.
Kawhi.
Kawhi was a pretty impactful.
Kawhi's a big one. I don't think they will win this year, but it could lead in that direction that you could say better signing than Brunson. You could.
I guess you could, but I mean, I think it's all going to come down to who ends up winning more.
Here's LeBron again. Lakers 2018. Has that one been?
They
won a championship, right?
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons. LeBron again with the Heat. Brooke Lopez with the Bucks. Taj Gibson, no. Rondo with the Pelicans. Brunson, 4 years.
Brooke Lopez has worked with the Bucks.
Yeah, and he signed a one-year deal for $3 million. Derek Fisher for the Thunder. So really what they're saying is the Thunder signed no impactful free agents. Their most impactful was a one-year $1.39 million deal with Derek Fisher. Bismack Biyombo.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, their ability to draft and develop is top-notch.
Well, they gutted the team.
Top-notch.
They completely gutted the team, and now they have a ton of picks, and they are one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Bismack Biyombo, no. Al Horford, no. Jay Crowder, Suns, no. Wesley Matthews, Trailblazers, no. Darren Collison, the Kings, no. Danny Green, Spurs, and Fred VanVleet with the Raptors. So, no. So, it's LeBron, it's Durant, and it's Brunson. That's how great of a signing it was.
All right, but listen to what Wolf said, too. It's not just, I mean, it's the winning, yeah, of course. But it's just, I mean, the stability that he's now added to a team, like he had mentioned, that's been rudderless, has not been well run. Let's give Leon Rose flowers, too, in this whole thing. But, I mean, and also at a position that you've been starving for how many years? That you finally found.
And
how important that's been. How
when
impactful.
You factor in expectations, you knew Durant was going to, I mean, they were going to win championship.
He was already established as a superstar, yeah.
LeBron, superstar.
Yep.
Nobody knew. Jalen Brunson was not a superstar.
No.
Jalen Brunson was not a star when he came here.
When Luka went down to the playoffs,
you saw a glimmer that, nobody thought it would be this.
Not like this. The Knicks didn't think it was going to be this.
No. You see the first baseman on the Padres? I don't even know who it is.
He's in one.
No. So the ground ball to him early in the game went through his glove.
Broke his glove,
broke the glove apart into right field.
It's not great.
No, not great. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. More Knicks, some Jets, and some Giants. It's DNR with you. The big 9 o'clock hour is next on 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.